Welcome. You're all really welcome here this morning, whether you are 5 or 95 or somewhere in between or somewhere outside of those ranges. You're all very welcome today. I'm Josh, I'm one of the members, and it's great to have you here today. I am going to start by reading a psalm, not a whole psalm, a little bit of a psalm. A psalm is always a good place to start. Psalm 32 says this. It says, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity." So if you've got some transgression, if you've got some mistakes that you've made in your life that you're aware of and you're conscious of them and you're thinking about them and you're thinking, oh, I've made a real mess, and there's guilt there, then there is hope this morning because there is forgiveness that is available for you. And if you're a Christian and you're like, I've been forgiven, I know that, then we've got reason to be happy this morning. That's what blessed means, or what blessed can easily be interpreted as happy. We've got reason to be happy this morning. So if we are forgiven this morning, let's be happy. Let's have joy in our hearts as we praise God, as we think about him, as we sing to him. And we're going to start by singing. We're going to sing the song, All Praise to Him. So please stand as the music starts. We sang in that song was something like, God bends to hear our every prayer. That's good, isn't it, that he wants to listen to our prayers. So let's pray to him now. Lord, we praise you that you are the king. You're the king of everything that we have ever seen. Everything that scientists have ever seen deep out in space with telescopes, and the things that we haven't even yet discovered. You're the king of all. You're the king that is so high above us, and yet you're so gracious and merciful that you come down and you bend your ear to hear our prayers. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we praise you that you're the creator God that made us all. You know us so perfectly. You describe it that you made us by hand, like you were knitting before we were even born. And that just shows us that that you made no mistakes as we were created, and that you had a purpose for us all in the way that you created us. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for that. That security that can give us, that we couldn't find anywhere else, knowing that you are a loving, perfect, powerful creator God. Lord, we pray that you would help us with that knowledge. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to turn to you and to follow you. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to, as we're going to be thinking about today, to serve you, to use all of the gifts that you've given us, to use the hands that you've given us, the minds that you've given us, to serve you in everything we do. Lord, we know that that we don't bring anything to you, that we're sinners and that we're weak. But we thank you that by Jesus that we are redeemed, that we're made acceptable to you. And more than that, that you even use us as your tools, as your instruments. And Lord, we pray that you would do that with us. Lord, we pray that you would use this church as your hands, as your feet, to do your work in this area. Lord, we pray for your help, because the work is hard, or we struggle. We struggle because of our sin, because of our weakness. We struggle to follow you the way we should. We struggle to serve you the way we should. And we pray that you just give us your grace in this church. Help us, enable us. Lord, there's a lot of work that's gone on recently with the youth work over the last couple of weeks, and there's more work coming up in the weeks ahead. And Lord, we just want to commit all of that into your hands. Lord, we know that our plans can't guarantee success, but we know that you will obtain success exactly where and when you want it. We know that your word is powerful, and that we trust that when it's preached, it will reap a harvest. Amen. Right, so we are going to have our first reading, which is in Philippians 2. We're going to read the whole chapter, but it's split into two, so I'm going to read the first half right now. Philippians chapter 2. I don't have the Bible number, the page number. Feel free to shout it out if you find it. 980. Thanks, Paul. And it's up on the screen. So, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labour in vain. Even if I'm to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with you all. Okay, so we're gonna pause there, and we're going to come back and read the second half in a few minutes. But now we're going to sing another song. We're going to sing At the Name of Jesus. That was in the verse there, wasn't it? That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth. So let's sing this song together. And then after that, Mark is doing the children's talk. So primary school kids, please feel free to come and sit at the front. And Mark has got a talk for you guys. Please stand as the music starts.
Oh, Morning. Okay, it is good to see you this morning. Now, I've got a question for you, really, this morning. What am I? Okay, I'm going to give you some clues, and you've got to have a think about what I might be, and the adults can join in with this as well. It starts off pretty tricky, so you won't guess straight away, I don't think. But maybe as it goes on, you might have a clue. Right, should we see the first one? Yeah. Okay, so I live in a big family where everyone works together. I'll put up the next one. You'll often see me walking in a line with others like me. Okay, let's go for a third one. People often see me at picnics, especially when there's something sweet. I wonder if any of the adults are starting to get there. We're not going to answer from the adults yet, just in case you ruin it. But there's some people who think they know. Let's see if they're right later on. Have any of you got any guesses? Yeah. Oh, well, let's have a look. Let's see if the other clues fit in with what you're thinking. I live underground or in little hills made of soil. Still feeling confident? Yeah, you think it might be that? Let's see if this last one helps. I'm small, but I can carry things many times my own weight. What are you thinking? You're thinking an ant. Are you happy with ants still? Is that what the adults were thinking? Yeah, absolutely, it is. And I got some people to go and get me some. Now, I'm really sorry if this is your lunchbox. I found it in the hall. can you see? You see the ants in there? And these were collected. Ants all over the place, aren't they? So someone collected these for me just before the service. And I was pretty confident they'd be able to find some, and they did. But what do you notice about the ants? What do you notice? Tiny? Yeah, so they're tiny. Yeah, what else do you notice about them?
They're really quick.
They're not sitting still, are they? Can you see any of them sort of trying to sunbathe? No. Can you see any of them having a nap? No, they're busy, aren't they? And when I picked this up, they were moving around. And they're constantly searching. And I'll have to let them out soon so that they can go and find whatever they need to find. But that's what they do. Ants are really busy, aren't they? If you ever see ants, they're always running around all over the place. They're quite easy to spot because of that. And the Bible tells us a bit about ants. And it tells us, it doesn't say squish them. It says go and watch them. There you go. Thankfully, they're not that big, are they? Can you imagine? But ants are really busy. And this is what you might sometimes see. Can you see them carrying leaves there? And then carrying a twig. Ants are really strong. Do you know they can carry about 10 to 20 times their own body weight? Some of them even 50 times. But 10 to 20 times, that's a bit like, I hope you've never tried lifting a cow because it'd be dangerous, but a bit like me lifting a cow. They're pretty strong, aren't they? Or me lifting my car. Can you imagine that? And that's what ants do. They're so strong, and they carry things, and they work as a team, and they might be carrying bits of food, or they carry leaves, which then help create the food that they can then eat, and they're always busy, they're always working. And the Bible says, watch them, especially if you're lazy. Shall we see what it says? It says, go watch the ants, you lazy person. Watch what they do and be wise. Now, it's not calling you lazy, but it's saying if you are lazy, if you sometimes are tempted to be a bit lazy and you just want to spend all day in bed and you never want to help anyone do anything and you never want to work at school, well, then go and watch the ants. Watch what they do and be wise, because ants are always, they're always up to something. They're always busy. They're always looking to help and working as a team. And this is what it carries on to say. It says, ants have no commander. They have no leader or ruler, but they store up food in the summer. They gather their supplies at harvest. So they get bits ready so that when it's maybe really cold or when they can't go out, they've got their supplies all safe already. So they're really busy so that when they can't work, they're already prepared. So just a couple of quick lessons for you. So they work hard even when no one is telling them to. Well, maybe some of you work hard when you're when you have to, when you're told to, when you've got a teacher looking over your neck, or maybe your parents asking you to do something. But you know, ants do something even when no one's telling them to. And that's an encouragement this morning, to work hard even when no one's watching. So maybe at school, when you're doing your work, work hard even if the teacher's not looking at you. Or maybe if you're at home, you might be able to help with little jobs, maybe laying the table or helping with some washing up, even if you haven't been asked. That'd be amazing, wouldn't it? But especially when you have been. But also, they work hard to prepare for the future. They're getting used to good work. They're getting everything ready. And, you know, you don't have to maybe go out and get all the shopping in, do you, in case it snows a lot, for example. But it's really good. If you can get used to working and doing good work, when you're an adult and you have to work to get the money in and to get food and all those things, you'll be really well prepared. And that's what the Bible gives us as good advice. Look at the ants. See how much they work and be good at working. Now, of course, it's half term this week, isn't it? You're going to have some time off. Good. I hope you enjoy some good time off. But when you go back to school, or when you're at home, maybe think, how can I be a bit like an ant? How can I be helpful? How can I do some hard work? And just a very quick word for maybe some of you teenagers. If you're doing exams or you're thinking about exams, just have a think about this. Especially if you're, you know, if you're not too worried about exams, you're like, oh, I'll be all right. I know what I'm doing. It's a really good practice to get into working hard. And I have to confess, I wasn't always the best myself. So I feel sympathy for you if you don't find it easy. But I want to encourage you that there's wisdom in working hard. It sets you up well for life. And so when you're at school, college, or when you're at home, commit to working hard. Have rest when you can. But commit to working hard, and it will do you good in the future. Well, thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Brilliant. Thank you, Mark. I think lots of parents will be very happy with that message. I might bring that up when it comes to tidying bedroom time, for sure. Let's spend a bit more time in prayer. Lord, we thank you for that message for the children. We pray that you'd help us all to apply that to our lives. Pray that you'd give us strength to serve you. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen us with your grace to serve you. Lord, many of us are feeling weak for different reasons. We might have health problems, physical health problems, mental health problems. We might be struggling with difficult things that are going on in our lives. And Lord, we thank you for the help that you give us. We thank you for the comfort, the compassion. We thank you for the strength that being yours gives us. And yes, Lord, we ask for more of that. When we have problems, there are many places that we can go to try to fix them. But we know that you are our ultimate need. Your word is our ultimate need. It's more important even than bread, than food. We need your truth. And Lord, we pray that you would speak to us today. We pray especially for John as he comes in a few minutes to preach, to explain the passage that we've been looking at. Lord, we just pray that would be such a help to many of us today. Lord, we pray that you'd challenge us where we need to be challenged, encourage us where we need to be encouraged, and we pray that you would just build your church here today with your word. Amen. So we're going to have the second part of the reading now. Paul Baker is going to come and read that for us. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. So we're reading from verse 18 of the chapter. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me, and I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I have thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need, for he has been longing for you all, and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honour such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. Amen.
Thanks, mate. We are looking forward to you explaining that for us in a minute, John. But before that, we're going to sing again. We're going to sing There's an Everlasting Kindness, which is a song about God's compassion for us. The Bible says God is the God of all compassion. He has compassion for you in whatever your situation is. So yeah, let's stand and sing together.
Thank you. Well, it's a bit of a one-off this morning on something that's impressed me during the week. I'm thinking probably from next Sunday to start coming into the great book in the Old Testament, Isaiah, sometimes being called the gospel or the good news according to Isaiah. So I do pray about that as we start to dip into some of Isaiah probably in coming weeks. But a one-off from this week. I haven't got it up there. Thank you. Now, I don't know quite how things were for you and what you got up to in playground days. The different games that children play in the playground. We used to play a game called Follow My Leader. I don't know if that's still one of the children would be the leader and the others would follow, and they would copy what the first one did. Let's give you a little bit of example of it. So the leader would go ahead and they might turn to the left, and everyone turns to the left, and they go to the right and everyone turns to the right. They might do star jumps and everyone has to do star jumps. They perhaps do some hopping. Everyone has to do some hopping. Carry on all the way down the line if there's a lot of children involved. Well, we do copy others in life, don't we? Often without knowing, we copy others. They have an effect on us. Maybe it's an older brother or an older sister. Perhaps it's parents. Perhaps it's a cool friend. Perhaps it's people on the media. And we do what they do. We think what they think. We say what they say. And after spending time with people like that, they influence us, and people can tell it rubs off on us. We become like them. We're moulded by them. Well, knowing this, Paul speaks in this chapter to these young Christians in the Greek city of Philippi. And he wants to give them some good people to follow and to copy. And you can see that in this chapter. In verse 5, he says, have the same mind as. In verse 20, he says of somebody, I have nobody like him. He's exceptional. He's an example. And in verse 29 of somebody else, he says, honour such men. Think about, copy, hold in esteem. Let them rub off on you. Be like them. People who should be, if you like, models for them. And particularly, in a specific way in this chapter, it's particularly in being unselfish, in being taken up with others. I don't know about you, but I need help with this. I need help with this. I find it very easy to be self-absorbed, to be taken up with myself, with my feelings, with my comforts, with my views, with my preferences. And in this chapter, we have three or four examples to copy, to help us to sort of steer out of that way of life into a better approach to life. It's good to think of examples. It's good to see examples around us in our modern day life. It's good to look at the examples we have in this chapter. I would say there are four in this chapter, but we're just going to look at three. So if you want to be thinking later on about what the fourth one is, you can do so. And they're people who serve well. They're exemplary in their concern for others. So this morning, instead of follow my leader, we can call it follow the servants. Follow the servants. And I'm going to do them in reverse order. Keeps on our toes, be a bit different, but with a particular reason in mind, which will become apparent. We're going to do three of them in this chapter. We're going to do them in reverse order. And we're going to look first at this man with a long name, beginning with the Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus. putting yourself out for others. I nearly called it taking risks for others. Taking risks for others, because that's quite a chunk of what we have here. You may think that's a bit of an unusual heading for me, taking risks for others, but it's a fair bit of what's going on here. So, you know, we need to think about this. Now, this fellow, Epaphroditus, he'd headed back to the Philippians. He was probably the postman with this letter. So he came with the letter of the Philippians to give to the people at Philippi. And he'd been with Paul in Rome at an earlier point than we were looking at last week. He'd been with Paul in Rome. And Epaphroditus was a good man. Listen to what he says about him, verse 25. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier and your messenger and minister to my need. Now he'd been to Rome, he'd gone to Rome, Epaphroditus, on behalf of this group of people, these Philippian Christians. Maybe he was a leader amongst them. And he'd come with a gift from them to help Paul, to encourage Paul in his time in prison there in Rome. You see that from chapter 4 and verse 18, where it says, I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent me. So if it's of a postman back to the Philippians, he'd sort of been a delivery man on behalf of the Philippians. And the trip to Rome proved very dangerous. It proved very dangerous. And it became a big point of concern. Epaphroditus was ill, and in fact he nearly died in bringing the stuff to Paul. Travelling in those days was very different from today. Maybe his health wasn't all that strong. Perhaps it was a bit dodgy. And the long journey, it worsened and he became unwell. Maybe, we just don't know, maybe he was set upon by others with all that he'd got on, and it was a job to protect the gifts he was taking. And he got harmed in the process. We don't know the details. Well, the home church, they'd heard about it. It was a big concern. And Paul wanted Epaphroditus to go back to Philippi with the letter and to settle the concerns. And this is what he says about it, verse 26. For he has been longing for you all, and he's been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. And then he goes on to tell them to honour such men. Look at verse 29 and 30. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honour such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. People like Epaphroditus are the people you should copy. He wanted to support Paul, and he was willing to put himself out. It was a big effort, and it was risky, but out of love for Paul and the gospel that Paul was passing on, it drove him forward to make that trip to Rome, which nearly became the end of him. How's this relevant to us then? Well, it reminds us that the love for others does mean you put yourself out. You go out of your comfort zone. You take risks. We quite rightly encourage each other to be sensible and wise and to stay safe and to play it safe and not to strain ourselves too much and to realise that we need rest. And this is all good. But there is also a real place for putting ourselves out for others. There are times when you'd rather be in your armchair, yet love for others means you pop round and help them. There are times when your commitment to your youth group means you know it's right and you do go and serve the youngsters, even though you'd much rather be at home watching a match or a film. There are times when you take interest in what someone's saying, when you'd much rather be browsing through your phone. Putting yourself out for others. I was challenged by this yesterday. This can be in small ways, you know, in everyday aspects of life. It was coffee time in the Cowley household. Esther was over here doing a lot of photocopying for something. I'm not as noble as many of you. I thought, well, I can get her coffee ready and she can have it when she comes back over. And then I thought about Epaphroditus. And in putting himself out for Paul. And thanks to Epaphroditus on this occasion, Esther got her cup of coffee, probably an hour earlier than otherwise she would have done. This attitude did for me yesterday, affect us in small ways, in ordinary ways, everyday ways, serving others, putting ourselves out. Well, of course, there are much bigger calls of caring. Caring for others is very demanding. A good number of you here are involved with caring for others who are young or who are old. And it's not always very easy, but it's very in keeping with Epaphroditus, who put himself out for others. Take heart in what you do. Epaphroditus also reminds us that there can be risks in serving. There can be risks in serving. So we had it in 29. Honour such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. Now, not wanting anyone to be reckless. Wisdom is thoughtful and does think through actions. We need to care for ourselves as well as care for others. There's wisdom in that. But sometimes it's right to do things which feel risky, which contain a lot of uncertainties, where there might be some dangers, where we have quite a lot of fears in going forward, where something is perhaps a little bit more public or involves sacrifice. And to do such things out of love and care for others. It can be big things. There are people who've gone to serve overseas, or who've changed their course in life to take on a new ministry. And it's been thought through and it's been prayed and they've consulted with others and they've searched what they felt is right before the Lord. But they felt it's right to go forward even though it involves uncertainty and risk and fear. And some danger, perhaps some social danger, even if not physical danger. Are we playing it too safe sometimes? Always wanting it comfortable, always wanting it easy. Never pushing ourselves, never pushing through the anxieties to help others. So Epaphroditus, follow the servants, and he's one who put himself out for others, and who took risks for others, And he's a good example for us to follow. And then we have our second one as we come back a bit from the end of the chapter. We come to Timothy. Timothy 18 to 24, where we have genuine care of others. Genuine care of others. So Epaphroditus had gone back with the letter, and Paul wanted Timothy to follow soon. Timothy was the person who received the letter talked about last week. And Paul greatly valued Timothy. And he wants him to go to the Philippians to help them and to get the latest, to get an update on how they're doing. See verses 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon so that I too may be cheered by news of you. And in verse 23 it carries on. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I know how it will be with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. So that's the circumstances. But especially notice Timothy's character. Notice his character. How he describes him in verses 20 to 21. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Well, it reminds us that so many of us, even as Christians, are so prone to be selfish and self-absorbed. Verse 21, for they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. I remember hearing it put this way. I think it's quite helpful. Maybe you've heard it before. When we can go into a room, we can go into a room in two ways, two thought processes. We can go into the room thinking, here I am. Or we can go into a room thinking, there you are. It sounds very simple, but you see, there's a very different mindset. Here I am, it's all about me. How's this going to affect me? How are you seeing me? Or there you are. In other words, I'm going in, I'm thinking about you and your needs and your situation. It's very simple, but I think it's quite actually challenging, it's quite thought-provoking. It's a battle for many of us, isn't it? And not just necessarily the sort of overconfident sort of look at me type. I mean, it might be obvious that they go into a room saying, look at me, and how can I perform, and how can you be impressed with me? It actually can also be shown in the ultra self-conscious type, all totally wrapped up in their own thoughts and how they're seen and feeling very nervous about it. In fact, I think there's a third way that's even better than there you are, which is Jesus is Lord. I'm most conscious of Jesus being Lord over everything. Timothy is if you like, a there you are person. A there you are person. He's exceptionally concerned for others. It's just so helpful. See what it says about genuineness, verse 20. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. In the days when we bought things with cash and didn't just sort of tap it with our card, and I know that still goes on today, sometimes the retailer, the shop assistant, would want to check the bank note. If it's a £20 note, it's a £50 note, if people have got something like that, then they would perhaps do the sunlight test, They look for the sort of hologram, the watermark in it to check it was the real thing. Or if they've got one of these scanners, you've seen them put it in and it sort of feeds around, approves that it's genuine. It's genuine. It's not just pretend. You haven't got a forged note. You're not being deceived. Well, it's easy for our concern, isn't it, for others not to be genuine. That we're not really listening. Reminded me of the amusing saying about the wife who, with some irritation, says to her husband, "You haven't been listening to a word I've said." To which he replies, "It's a funny way to start a conversation." Timothy wasn't like that. I guess many of us, husbands, perhaps wives, friends, whatever, are often like that, that we're not genuinely tuned in and concerned and listening to the other person. We can be not genuine in being very sort of mixed in our motive. So we can take an interest in a person because we want to look good, because we want them to go away and be thinking, yeah, it's a nice person, it took you and it was kind, whatever. And it's really, it's quite selfish. It's not Timothy-like, genuinely concerned for your situation. Or because we think we might get something back if we're good to them, that something else will come round that's going to sort of work for our benefit. Romans 12 says, "Let love be without hypocrisy." Timothy was genuinely concerned for others. If you held him up to the sunlight, the watermark, the hologram would be showing. He's a good model. He's a good model for us to follow. Now, we can't take the same level of interest in everyone. You can't have deep and meaningful conversations with everyone you come across. And many people wouldn't actually want it, and you are not just you're just not capable of it in terms of time and emotional energy. But here Timothy is such a fine example, isn't he? We're naturally care, genuinely concerned for your welfare. He's a fine fellow for the Philippians to follow. He's a fine fellow for us to follow. Follow the servants. Be like Timothy in genuine care of others. Well, we saved the best till last. And the best one is really, in a way, the motivation for E and for T as they go on their routes caring. We come lastly to Jesus, who is the ultimate servant of others. So we're saving the best till last. We're on to Jesus here, as this chapter earlier on tells us about Jesus. It tells us about his highness in some magnificent verses 9 to 11, which we sung a song based on. It tells us about the highness of Jesus. "Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." But it also tells us about his lowness, how far he stooped to make a way of salvation possible for people like you and me. And we have that in the amazing verses 6 to 8. "Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." though the glorious God, he was willing to become like man. And to become a servant, his life was evidently a life of serving others. Humble service through the pages of the gospel. But service not just in life, but even more in death. He humbled himself to the point of death, even being executed painfully and ridiculed on a cross. It was an amazing come down for the Son of God. Why did he do this? Yes, to obey his Father, but yes, out of love for others. He says, I am willing to leave the glory up here. I am willing to come down. I am willing to become man. I am willing to serve. I am willing to die. He says, my comfort can go. My reputation can go. My ease can go. My convenience can go. So that they can be forgiven. So that they can be right with you, Heavenly Father. So that they can have eternal life. And all this Jesus has done. And Paul says to this group of Christians that they should have the same mindset of humble service, and so should we. Verse 3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only on his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind in you, which was in Christ Jesus. The ultimate example of serving others. And how does this work out? Well, when you're tempted to push ahead of others to be seen and to get all the attention on you rather than them, you think of Jesus, the ultimate servant, and you hold back. When you want the bank holiday plans to be all that suits you and not others in the family, you think of Jesus, the ultimate servant, and you hold back. When you're thinking, I can't be bothered to do that, I'm going to leave that to others, you think of Jesus, the ultimate servant, and you feel differently. It makes us willing, or encourages us to be willing to do the grotty jobs, the come-down jobs. What might they be? Somebody talking about this passage talked about cleaning the toilets. Never a favourite job on camp when I was a leader. That same book talked about one church where a man cheerfully cleaned the toilets as one of his responsibilities. And they nicknamed him the Lord of the Rims. The Lord of the Rims. Well, when you think of Jesus and his love, his servant-heartedness, his death, the way he humbled himself, should have a big effect on our lives. Make us want to follow the servants of which he is the ultimate. Follow the best servant of all. So we I've got one thing I want to end with, one final line of thought. But we've had these three examples to follow. We can come away from a message like this in a number of different ways, but a couple of ways, both of which I think probably will be felt by some of us to some extent, and both of which are on themselves are not really enough. Some may think, I love a challenge, and this has been a challenging message, and I'm pumped up, and I'm going to try this week to be a better servant. Some may come away from a message like this thinking, oh, I'm just so hopeless. This seems so difficult. I just fail in so many ways. Well, I want you to just notice something else about this chapter and this letter, actually, Philippians as a whole. There's a lot of joy in it. There's a lot of joy in it. Before, it says about Jesus as an example, verse 2, complete my joy by being of the same mind. Before moving on to Timothy, verses 17 to 18, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you should be glad and rejoice with me. In talking about Epaphroditus, the end of the chapter, so receive him in the Lord with all joy. Knowing Jesus brings joy. Serving Jesus brings joy. Serving others brings joy. Copying servants who serve others brings joy. Having servants around like that brings joy. So by all means, be challenged as we leave this morning. Maybe even feel pumped up a bit, but do so with a spirit of joy because of Jesus. And by all means, feel a sense of failing this morning. I expect we all will to some extent. And do confess it to the Lord, but do so with a joy that Jesus is your Saviour and that He's come to save you. And it is your delight to serve him. And maybe when you were younger, you were taught the pattern, Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Well, it's good, isn't it? It's a bit simplistic in some ways, but it's a good rule of thumb, isn't it? Jesus first, others second, yourself last. And you will probably remember what that spelt, taking the first letters, J-O-Y, joy. So as we leave this challenging chapter, which encourages us in our service, let's do so with a spirit of joy, which just saturates this wonderful letter of Philippians, which is a letter so full of Jesus. Well, let's have a little time of private prayer for a few moments before we sing a very good, fitting last hymn. Maybe there's a reaction in your own heart to what's said, or some of the sections that you want to turn into a prayer. So let's have a moment's quiet. Well, let's sing together our last song. We've been encouraged to follow the servants, and our last song focuses especially on the Lord Jesus and the way he served, and prays that we might be able to serve in copying him. Let's stand to sing our last song. Father, most of us have been struck by the things that we've been thinking about from this chapter. We confess we have our own battles. We've been too self-absorbed, too selfish, and we're thankful for the corrective this morning as we've looked at these wonderful examples. We pray, Lord, that you would forgive us for our failings. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to go forward, increasingly looking to serve others in the way we've been encouraged this morning, especially to be like the Lord Jesus, who was so amazing in his come down and what he's done for us. But we also pray that you would help us to do all this with a spirit of joy, knowing that Jesus brings joy in his salvation and in living for him. And we do pray that you would help us to go forward in joyful service to the honour and glory of your name. Amen.